The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them, Cowboys?
Yes! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
C.D. Lamb. Touchdown.
Parsons has second. Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
Welcome to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee, live from the Star in Frisco. We're here in the SWBC podcast studio. I'm here with Nick Harris, Isaiah Standback, John Machota. I am Josh Rodriguez, filling in for Kyle Yeomans, who is on paternity leave. Shouts to him, taking care of his kids.
The bibbis.
Yeah, what a good father he is.
He's a good dad.
Take the
good
money, dad. Give me the bibbis.
We'll miss him for sure, and yeah. I'm just here filling shoes,
yeah,
as it were. We got Crispy in the back. Boys, how we doing?
Fantabuloso.
Yeah?
Yeah, I can't complain. I'm draft looking forward week. To this draft, yeah.
Yeah, draft week.
They're going to actually add players. This is going to be wild.
Days away?
Yeah, they have to add players this week. Yes. That is the guarantee.
They just keep trading back. One round after, they just keep trading back, trading back, trading back.
Yeah, they just acquire a ton of picks next year.
Right.
Today's there's a press conference with who's all going to be on this press conference panel? We got Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy, and Will McClay for this one today.
Lunch provided. That's all I know.
Lunch provided, which is that's new. But so we'll hear from them today. Obviously, they won't give too much as far as draft strategy goes, but certain things that I'm curious about to address is, are they open for business and trading back? Do they want to acquire a day three pick? You know, what does that kind of look like for them and their conversations up there in the building? So excited to see what comes of that. And then, man, draft time. I'm excited, man. It's one of my favorite times of the year.
It's your time to shine, right?
It's just my favorite time of the year.
Well, we got news and notes to get to kind of first off before we get into the draft stuff. Dak Prescott, he had some comments this week, or I guess last week. Kind of wanted to get into that as far as his future goes in Dallas. He made some comments about that. John, did you want to kind of kick us off and tell us what he said?
So Nick and I were both there, and I don't know if this jumped out to you immediately when it happened, but the way he talked about not being nervous or worried. Feared? I don't fear about whether it's, you know, his futures with the Cowboys or some other. That's the first time I ever heard him kind of talk like that. I liked it from his perspective because it just shows you that he's dug in and that, I mean, he's a competitor. So he is so used to always saying exactly whatever the right thing is or whatever, you know, towing the company line.
Yeah.
And for him to say that was the first time that I've ever been around him where I was like, oh, yeah, he's ready for the, hey, if you guys think that you're better off without me, well, maybe we'll find out. Now, of course, he didn't say that, but you read in between the lines. I thought that was pretty interesting, that part of it. And then the other part is just the whole, he's talked to Jerry Jones about the contract, but haven't had, quote, real talks.
Yeah.
And that one to me was a little surprising just because that's all we talk about is just Dak contract, CD contract, Micah contract. And you're just thinking, well, no, they're having these conversations and everything. And the fact that they're not really having any substantial conversations, I said this before free agency started. I know you've said it way before then, but it's just like every day that goes by, it's more and more likely that he's going to play out this final year of this deal. And that's just going to be wild. I mean, yeah, there's going to be a lot of pressure on him, but there was pressure on him before for that last deal. And he broke his ankle pretty significantly and still got that deal. So that doesn't mean that he's not going to be with the Dallas Cowboys, but I think that right now is just more than ever, you have to start thinking about that being a possibility. I know a lot of Cowboys fans probably don't want to think about that. I mean, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're used to whoever is your franchise quarterback. They don't wear anybody else's jersey, you know? They don't go anywhere else.
Gosh,
so
when was the last time a quarterback left the Cowboys? Like, it's still in good standing, I guess, as far as his career goes.
I don't think there's a good one.
I don't think there's been one
like
in
a
long
five
time.
Or six.
Yeah, yeah. Was that fist bump like a yes fist bump or like a darn fist bump?
Listen, like you mentioned, I foresaw that he was going to have to play in his fifth year, and it's still up in the air. But I like the fact that they're making him seemingly leaning towards him playing on his last year of his contract. I like it because all the respect in the world to Dak Prescott. Great human being. He's been a good player for the Dallas Cowboys. But ultimately, your goal and your mission every year for every single organization, all 32 teams, is to win a Super Bowl. That's your overarching goal. Now, everything else underneath that umbrella is pretty much like pats on the back or progress. It's either pat on the back, hey, good job, got to the first round, or guess what? You know, we got further than we got the year before, so we're heading in the right direction, yeah. Right? Those are really the two boxes that get checked every single year. But if your ultimate goal is to win a Super Bowl and you're serious about winning a Super Bowl, then you have to take the regular season work kind of out of the picture. You really have to separate your emotional ties to an individual and the success that they've had during the regular season, and you have to look and say, during the postseason, what have we done? And when you look at Tony Romo's career here, which you moved on from him, he was 2-4 in the playoffs, correct? Dak Prescott's 2-5 as it currently stands. There's not much difference there.
Well, there one difference, though, I will say, with Romo and Dak is that Tony Romo could still be the starting quarterback of this franchise, for all we know, if his back could hold up.
Okay.
We don't know that he wouldn't still be here right now. Okay. So his health kind of forced the hand.
Understood.
So the idea that, well, they're just not going to put up with this, we're going to move to the next one, we haven't really seen that from them.
I understand that, and I totally agree with you. His tenure here got cut short, yeah, because of the succession of Dak Prescott based upon an unfortunate situation with Tony Romo. The thing is, the record at that point in time remained the same.
Mm-hmm.
He was 2-4 in the playoffs. Right now, Dak Prescott's 2-5. So as an organization, regardless of how outstanding of a citizen he is, how much of a great model he is for the organization, great spokesperson, great human being,
great regular season demon,
right, killing it, runner up to MVP. Does that get jewelry on your finger? And has it gotten jewelry on your finger? And if that is the ultimate goal, then why would you not put somebody's back up against the wall and say, before I reward you, I have to actually reward you for performance?
You're leading the witness a little bit. Obviously, okay. No, there are no rings on his finger. But I also think that was Dak Prescott's job to take. I mean, if it was what the Cowboys intended, if it was Paxton Lynch on this roster, I think Tony Romo would still probably be the quarterback in some capacity. I don't think he overtakes Tony Romo in that position. But because you had Dak Prescott, mm-hmm, on the roster, he took that job.
Understood.
He really did. As painful as that for me to say, as much as I love Tony Romo.
A little bit more context, if I could, on the day last week and his availability. So, first off, the event was for the Children's Cancer Ball and Gala. Dak Prescott and Troy Aikman are co-chairmen of the cancer fund, and there was 50 to 75 kids that walked and over 100 that were able to come back and participate in the festivities after participating in previous years. So a really good cause overall. I wanted to be sure and hit that.
Romo ended up being there too.
Romo was there, yeah, too, which was very fascinating.
Yeah, it kind of surprised me.
Seeing all three of them together like that, it is very fascinating, especially given the context of all of them as well. But a couple of more things. Dak Prescott has had a meeting with Jerry Jones in recent weeks. He was able to tell us, and he said that there's not any gray area. So at least whatever the understanding is, Dak Prescott and Jerry Jones are on the same page as far as where these contract negotiations stand. He said, I talked to Jerry, so I understand where we are. Obviously, Jerry's mentioned the same, so there's not any gray area in that sense. We had a great conversation that put us aligned and where we are in this moment. And he said in the moment, now, focusing on now. That was kind of the theme around his availability in my eyes. And he's maintained that he has kept that same rhetoric throughout his career. He said, you could go back to earlier in my career when there wasn't a contract in play. I'm a guy who focuses on the now, what I can do in this moment. Yes, there's something you can pull from that, but also I think it's a little bit more ambiguous when you look at it with the context given, the fact that he's entering a final year of his deal, and also the fact that you go back and you look at his previous availability, which was for the same cause a couple of months ago. I believe it was early March, right before free agency started there at North Park. I think it was, mm-hmm, around early March, and he's like, I'm confident we're going to get a deal done. You know, that's where we stand. You know, I'm confident it's going to happen. The team needs it, so, you know, we're going to get it done. To now, hey man, I'm just living in the now. You know, when talks get here, they'll get here. You know, and so it's like it's a little bit more ambiguous, and you kind of read between the lines in that sense, and you wonder where and when this conversation might happen. And then, the final quote that he gave on the last question: I'm not going to say I fear being here or not. Right now, it's with the Dallas Cowboys. After the season, we'll see where we're at and if the future holds that. Mm. If not, we'll go from there. So.
Mm.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
He's standing on business.
He is standing on business. And another thing I want to be sure and hit was CD apparently, preparing to hold out for a new contract. He was also asked, hey, will you still be able to get work in with CD if that holdout takes you into training camp, et cetera? He said, we'll get some work in. I've been in communication with CD. Maybe a deal gets done. And if it doesn't, I guarantee that we'll still find a lot of time to get the work that we feel comfortable. One note on both of these topics with Dak Prescott and CD Lamb is that the Reliant Home Run Derby is next Wednesday, and both of them are expected to compete. So there's going to be a lot of headlines that come out of next week for sure. The home runs will not be the headline, I'll tell you that.
No, not quite. I also kind of wanted to touch on, he made a few comments regarding the Cowboys offseason moves or lack thereof. Yep. Did you kind of want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I didn't really put it on this in this quote box that I have here, but that was another thing that he had talked with Jerry about a couple of weeks ago, and that was kind of playing into there's not any gray area. So he understands where the organization is at. He understands where things are at. He said he's focused on the guys in the locker room and what he can do to pour into them over the course of the offseason. So, I mean, that was you know, a typical Dak answer in good sense.
Yeah, for sure. So another topic that we have, Stephen Jones is on The Fan discussing offensive line. He discussed Trey Lance a little bit. Another thing that you touched on last week at length, but I kind of wanted to get your thoughts on this now that he actually said it onto the record. You know, this is out there for the world. With Mike Zimmer in the building, obviously the defensive scheme is going to change a little bit. And he said we're going to be relying on a three linebacker system, bigger in the middle and less of the, just bigger in the middle, basically.
Yeah, so he said more three linebacker as opposed to two linebacker mm-hmm. and three safety.
That's yeah.
True, as pretty much a base defense.
Yeah, but how often
down,
are they even in
four
base?
Four down, three linebackers.
But how
two
often
safeties
are they even in base?
Historically.
I'm talking in the last 2 or 3 years of NFL football. I'm not talking just
Cowboys. NFL has changed
the entire league.
NFL has changed personnel. So if you are going to be in a more traditional type setting where you have four down, three linebackers,
you better have some damn good.
You
DBs.
Better have some. You better have some DBs, and you better have some great covering outside linebackers.
Yeah.
Because the game of football has changed. It's 11 personnel. It is 11 personnel. And for those that don't know what 11 personnel is, one tight end, one running back, three receivers. That is primarily what most teams line up in, whether it's run or pass. Now, if it's a second and short, third and short, yeah, you're going to come out in a 21 or a 22, whatever it might be, personnel to change up, you know, the amount of tight ends and running backs that you have in the backfield. But I can't foresee this team turning into a traditional base defense in this NFL. And with the lack of picks that you have in this year's draft. And the fact that most of free agency is gone. So where are you going to acquire all these extra assets that are going to now fill the voids that you have in this new system? It was my concern last week. It was my concern as soon as they brought Zimmer on staff. I was like, I can't see it. I don't know how they get there with the current roster that he's walking into.
So let's run the tally. What would you need to be able to put together a base defense right now based on what this team needs? Probably – two defensive tackles, at least one more linebacker, another edge.
Minimum. Yeah, I would say two linebackers.
You need at least two more linebackers because you would love Overshown to come back and be healthy.
Right. Yeah, that's fair. You got three healthy ones.
I mean, but we had, you know, we had, unfortunately, what happened to Jabril Cox kind of gave you a peek into the window of what could happen when Overshown gets back. You just have to be, you know, obviously I'm not putting that on him, but that just, you have to be realistic about that, about what he's coming back as. Because you had a really athletic, you know, Cox in linebacker, he was a beast, fast, and then he got hurt, and then he came back, and he just wasn't that, right? Whether it was confidence, whether it was ability. So you're hoping that that's not the story for Overshown. So I would like to come into the season without the expectation that Overshown is going to be what he was prior to injury and plan for his replacement and then hope for the best. Right, and then just have that extra depth there. So if I'm not factoring Overshown into it, now all of a sudden you got Damone Clark and you got Kendrick. That's it.
Yeah, I think a minimum two, and then hope for the best, basically with Overshown, and let him do what he needs to do to kind of get healthy. But
you talked about the size up front. You're severely undersized, like not just a little bit.
Yeah,
you are severely undersized for. Not only what Mr. Jones just said, right? Stephen Jones just said about going to a traditional 4-3, seemingly, or historically what Zimmer has done with a 3-4. Either way, you are severely undersized. And how do you rectify that? I don't know. Mm.
Just add more beef. Add as much beef as you possibly can in the draft this week.
I think training table is going to change the type of foods they're serving.
It's not going to be training table. It's going to be fatting table.
Exactly.
I mean, you're going to be able to fill out the roster and get the right body types. The problem is that are you going to have the quality there?
Because
this team's going to – I think they're going to make, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 undrafted guys be guys that possibly make this roster just because they're going to need extra body. I can see a linebacker that they don't even draft that's a guy that's depth but also special teams special that makes teams. This roster. I mean, it's kind of like last year. Like you had a pretty good idea with that when they signed T.J. Bass after the draft. Like, yeah, is he good as maybe a top three pick, first three round pick? Probably not, but he had a good chance of making the roster because, hey, look at what they need. Mm-hmm. That's why he signed with the Cowboys, because it was going to be a great opportunity to make the roster. I think linebacker, you can fill out a little bit that way. The defensive tackle, particularly the big one technique, that's the one where I'm just like, I don't know where you're really finding somebody like this.
There's not many in the draft either. Yeah. And you're going not a lot.
So you're going, and obviously you can speak to that all day long. You're going into the season heavily relying upon rookies. Let's just call it what it is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Young guys in general.
Young guys in general. Rookies, undrafted, second year guys. You're going into this season heavily relying upon it in a year in which you did not get a lot of productivity out of your draft.
Yeah.
So if you have this big breakout year two for Mozzie Smith, are you feeling a lot better?
I feel a lot better, but I mean, we have his work to look at, right? That's all we have.
Oh, I know.
You know, we can hope all day long. Right. We can wish. I had a lot of wish sandwiches growing up. You know, I wish my sandwiches were actually had some meat on it, but a lot of times it was just honey and bread. You know, so.
And it's not only that. I hate to be the downer here on all this, but name the last player that really didn't give you anything year one and just super ascended the next year.
Yeah.
Like now there could be like a little bit in year one, and then they take the next step in year two. But I'm talking like you get almost nothing from, and then year two you're just like, whoa, where did this guy come from?
We're on a podcast. Let's do it.
I can't think of the last player.
I was at broadcast boot camp.
Mm-hmm.
There were offensive linemen there who played against the Dallas Cowboys last year. And we had conversations on the way on the bus, at lunchtime. And one of the offensive linemen that I was with was literally laughing at – he was like – he didn't even know the name. But I knew he was talking about – Mozzie at the time. He was laughing about – he's like, man, who was that little dude they brought in here? He's like, man, I was moving him all over the doggone field. He was so light in the butt. This is coming from somebody who played
was this against early in the season or late in the season. I'm curious, because if you say early in the season, that'll worry me more.
Yeah, there's no way he was light early in the season. I don't remember it had to be.
It was later in the season.
It was later in the season.
But he was like, the way in which he was talking about it was like, why is he out here?
Mm.
And that was disturbing to me. Obviously, we were having a good conversation, but obviously, as a Cowboys analyst, I'm like, ooh, that's not good. That's not good. So. If that's who you're relying upon currently, obviously you're hoping that he puts on more weight. Obviously you're hoping that he comes in with a different mindset, has a lot greater impact. We can hope all day long. But just going up, that's the reputation that he currently has around the NFL. And guys are confident going against him. So I'm saying you're relying heavily upon him to make a 180-degree change in size and effectiveness, as well as trying to fill voids with other guys who, as we know today, are unproven.
Mm-hmm. I'm seriously going through my head right now. I don't know if you're looking it up, but like I'm going through my head right now the entire, not that I wasn't listening. I was listening.
No.
But I'm going through like all the draft picks and like I'm thinking all the Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, Deron Bland, all these guys showed you a flash in year one. They showed you something where you're just like, no. There's probably a little bit more there.
Correct.
I'm not saying that you can't all of a sudden just be like, especially
you're going
coaches
off
will tell
work.
You defensive tackle is a position like that it's where, tough. Hey, you might not see the best of that player year one, year two, it takes them some time. So this is certainly a possibility here.
Yeah.
I'm just going off of the Cowboys track record of drafting. Generally, the players that have contributed, you've known pretty early on, oh, yeah, there's something here. We saw flash. Heck, I thought last year at training camp and even before that preseason game, you saw some of that from DeMarvion Overshown. That's what made me think, oh, no, this dude's a rookie. But I can see him being part of packages because we saw little flashes here or there. I'm not saying he's going to step in and be
there's
your number one
that
linebacker.
Your eye.
There's something exactly.
Yeah, and that was what kind of disturbed me about the conversation that I had with some of these players that were at the same event. It was the fact that I didn't even hear the word fight or resilience, or he got that dog, or, you know, was it not even associated with his effectiveness of play, but just like, yeah, like, you know, I was able to move him, but like, yeah, that boy fights. Like, there was there was none of that.
Just lighten the butt, right?
No, what I'm doing is going through this photo that they posted at that boot camp to try to figure out who Isaiah's talking about.
All right, well, let's take our first break, Chris. When we come back, we got to get into the NFL draft. So if you want to leave us a call or text, the phone line is up on the screen. Please do that. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. That's blackriflecoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Hello, welcome back to Talkin' Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee, the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys. Our next segment is brought to you by Quaker Oats, the a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to turn over to the oat goat, Isaiah Standback. Did you get your oats in today?
I did not, unfortunately. By the time I got to the building, even though I got here substantially earlier than I normally do, because I was coming from an event, they had already shut down the oats.
You got to be careful saying oat goat.
All right, we got to get into the NFL draft. It's this week. It's just days
let's
away.
Get it. Let's get it.
What's wrong with that, man? Come on. All right. I was looking at Twitter this week. Had a really good question. I'm X this week.
I refuse.
Really good topic brought up by at John Machoda. Trade up or trade down? Him. Oh yeah, he's good. Give him a follow on X.
Yeah, do that.
Do you expect the Cowboys to pick at 24, or would you trade up or trade down?
So I said this on the draft show yesterday. This is my feeling as of today, Tuesday, April 23rd at 10:25 a.m. This could change. Between
pull your dad quote right now.
Yeah. In the moment, as of now, I think if one of three guys are on the board at 24, I think they pick at 24. If either of those three are off the board, I think they trade back. This is just my opinion. Troy Faltanu, guard / tackle out of Mr. Stanback's University of Washington.
He won't be there.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be there either.
He won't be there.
J.C. Latham, tackle / guard out of Alabama, third-year guy. And then Graham Barton, tackle guard center out of Duke. I personally have a little bit more pessimism than I think most when it comes to either of those three guys being on the board. I give it like a 30% chance that at least one of them will be on the board. That's kind of what I feel right now. If none of those three guys are on the board, I don't think they pick at 24. I think they're parachuting back and getting on the phone with Baltimore at 30 or KC at 32. You also got San Francisco at 31. Also, wouldn't be surprised if they trade out of the first round entirely. I mean, they need to pick up some extra capital. That not having that fourth round pick, not only does that hurt, but they don't pick until the end of the fifth. So they're going from 87 on day two in round three to 174 in on day three in round five. That's 87 picks in between that you're just watching go by. There's a lot of really good talent there. For me, I feel like the day three talent, obviously it is at the top, but I feel like it's really top heavy. I feel like once you get into round six, round seven, you're starting to reach a little bit more than you would in past years in round six and round seven. They need to pick up an early day three pick. And I think the best way to do that, trade back six, seven, eight, nine, ten spots in the first round or go back into the second round and get that extra pick.
Would it hurt to get out of the first round for you? Or just
no, not no. at all. No, I'd be completely okay with it, especially if you could pick up two picks along the way.
Yeah.
Just kind of based on trade packages and things of the sort, you could get a third and a fifth, if trading back trading out of the first round. But I mean, even trading back to 32 with Kansas City, you run the opportunity of getting a third and a fourth. So I think picking up those extra picks, I think that would be huge, especially if you can sneak one into the top 100 so that you can still get a top 100 pick. And I feel like they could still get a quality offensive lineman there in the early 30s to mid 30s. Maybe not the guy that they could get at 24, obviously, but I think they could still get a guy in the early to mid 30s that can contribute immediately on the offensive line or just go ahead and get the number one linebacker in the class. So that would. I think those are the options, and certainly everything that's being talked about up there for sure.
John, it was your question. So
yeah, so I think they're going to do everything possible to trade back, but obviously you need a partner, and so that'll be the key thing.
Yeah.
So at The Athletic, we do a couple different mock drafts throughout this time of the year, and we just did our final one yesterday. And so every writer picks for their team, and my whole goal was to get out of 24 just to see what else would be there if you move back. And I tried so hard to get a trade back with so many different teams, and the only one I could get was with Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And all I got was their third for it, and I did it. And I will tell you this right now, if you get all the way back to 32, man, you're gonna get nervous about those offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, if you go back 32 plus a little bit more, and let's say you get out of the first round, then your first pick in your draft could be like Junior Colson or Jonathan Brooks. Like, are you fine with that?
Yeah, that you would have to be, I think, if you're going back to the mid-second round. I think the hope would be that Edgerrin Cooper or Peyton Wilson is there. One of those top two linebackers. Based on hearsay, I think there's a little bit more preference with Cooper just because there's not as many medical concerns. But I think you could still get back in those mid-30s, and then you try to address offensive line later in day two, which you're running that risk. But there's some good tackles there in the second round and third round that you can move around with and you can be flexible with. But it sounds like Kansas City is probably the most likely partner because they need a receiver. And I think there could be a drop of a couple of receivers just based on other positions being valued a little bit higher here in the first round on Thursday night. And if there's names like Brian Thomas Jr. and Xavier Worthy and Adonai Mitchell, Ladd McConkey still available there at 24, then it would not surprise me if Buffalo or Kansas City get on the phone with the Cowboys to try to go ahead and move up to 24, take that receiver before the other one does it. Because both of those teams are receiver needy right now. You would have to assume both of them are taking one.
Well, so take advantage not of to that. Give away too much because the mock draft comes out tomorrow morning, but so I did that thinking the same thing.
And they didn't take a receiver?
Kingsley Suamataya.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, yes. Oh, and wow. I was like, okay, this is not good. This is not good. Like, I'm already regretting this, like, moving all the way back.
Yeah.
Because I'm fine with the trade back, but I got to get an offensive lineman out of it. That's just me personally, because this team's drafted very well offensive linemen. And honestly, when I say that, it could even be a guard. Like, it needs to be an offensive lineman for me personally. I don't know if you guys feel differently, but I was saying that last year during the season that I felt strongly that their first round pick would be an offensive lineman. And that's before, you know, they lost, obviously, Tyron Smith and Tyler Biadasz. So, it's tough, though, because you don't want to move back too far. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're kind of wiped out of this clump of players. And I think I bring that up because I think that's the way that they'll look at it, too, is that there will have to be a group of players where they're like, all right, we got these five or six guys. We can move back five or six spots because we know we'll get one of these guys. Whereas for me, I was just like, let me just move back because it's an exercise. I just want people to see what could potentially be there if you move all the way back to 32. And it gets kind of thin, man. I'm telling you, it gets kind of thin back there.
Yeah. Isaiah, trade forward, trade back, stand pat. What do you think?
Stand back.
I think I'm on the mindset of Nick. I think that they have a handful of guys that they would grab, but if they're not there, as much as they would want to pick at 24, I think you have to look at your roster, and you have to look at your salary cap, and you have to look and say, how many players can we get for the least amount of money? That's really what this decision is coming down to. Either we get a really good really good impact player who's just sitting there that we really want. Or, dang it, he's gone. They're gone. We got to add value now because, you know, I got 20 bucks and I got five kids to feed. Mm. You know, I mean, like, that's the situation they're in. They have a little bit of money, and they got to try to get as much as they can for that amount of money. So sometimes you got to go discount, double check, and you got to go find you some value with more picks. And yeah. Even though that's not the most popular thing, that's the responsible thing. And I think that as hard as it is for the front office right now for the Cowboys, I think they're doing the responsible thing. Just holistically as an organization. And it's not fun for fans, and it's not cool, and it doesn't make headlines, and it doesn't equal up to the going all in and all that jazz stuff that everybody expected. But they're doing the responsible thing by waiting guys out, making guys prove it, holding on to as much money as they can, trying to get their books back in order. They're not just continually swiping their credit card.
What's the move there on $20 to feed five kids? What would you do?
Bro, listen here.
Ramen.
What's the move?
It's not none of our sponsors.
Quaker Oats. Super Christmas.
Yeah, the Oats can spread. You can stretch that.
All right, got another post from X here. From at Nick Harris DC, a really good person to follow. Who is one player, regardless of round grade, that you're most confident will be in a Cowboys uniform by the end of the week?
Yeah, there was an overwhelming consensus, and I honestly was thinking about putting a little disclaimer out on the tweet before I sent it out. You can't say Jonathan Brooks, but I didn't, and everyone just said Jonathan Brooks. So Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, a running back. I mean, every mock you look at has him pinned to the Cowboys at 56. Running back from Texas, as I said, he's from Hallettsville originally down in Central Texas. He's a top five rusher all time in Texas high school football history. Almost won a state championship at AT&T Stadium back in 2020, but went to the University of Texas, sat behind Roschon Johnson and Bijan Robinson for 2 years, and then got his opportunity to start last year. Man, super productive, almost 6 yards per carry, but he tore his ACL late in the season against TCU. It was late November. Had his ACL surgery performed by Dr. Dan Cooper, who is the Cowboys team physician. So the Cowboys have more medical intel on him than arguably any other team. With that being said, it's probably kind of caught up by now, because when he goes to the combine, when he goes on these 30 visits, they can evaluate him to the very needle of where that surgery kind of was performed. So a lot of other teams have that same information, but the Cowboys, they just kind of had a leg up in doing the homework on him. They met with him at the combine, I believe, and I know for sure they brought him in for a 30 visit. So they have definitely done their homework on him. I think the only concern that you run there is, will he be there at 56? There has only been one draft in the modern draft era that has seen the first running back come off the board after pick 56. So you would have to assume that would need to happen again this time around, because it's between Jonathan Brooks and Trey Benson out of Florida State, to my right, John Machotis, Florida State Seminoles. One of those two guys will most likely be the first running back off the board. And if it's Brooks, does he get to 56? You know, there are other teams that have brought him in for 30 visits. The Panthers, they pick at 33, and at 39, they brought him in for a 30 visit. I believe the Packers as well. You could also look at the Eagles being a sneaky contender there for Jonathan Brooks. There are some teams in front that you would kind of have to sweat out not picking Brooks, but I think that's the safest pick right now. It was like, going into the draft last year, DeMarvian Overshown was kind of the one that everyone was looking around like, okay, this one just feels right.
Right.
And he ended up happening there in the third round. It feels a little bit of the same, but I don't think there was as many concerns with Overshown last year about him getting picked before whatever that pick was last year. I think there's a little bit more with Brooks. You hear something?
I do. Sorry.
Okay.
I don't know if that was mine or not.
Just asking, mainly for the fan here, do you think picking up Royce Freeman changes your strategy at all at drafting a running back at 2?
No, I don't believe so. Yeah. I think you still need to go get an RB1. Think about the signing of Ronald Jones last year.
Yeah.
Granted, take it a little bit more seriously, because Ronald Jones had the issue at training camp last year where he was suspended for the first two games. I feel like he never was able to get a fair shot as a result of that, and he was dropped as soon as that two-game suspension was up. So think Ronald Jones with a little bit more health, and as of now, a little bit better standing with the league. But I think it's just training camp competition, and to bring a veteran in the room, I mean, that'll help whether there's a rookie in there or not.
Fair enough. Isaiah?
I agree. It doesn't change my approach. You have to get a running back.
Do you need two?
Draft.
Because there's some that say you need two running backs in this draft. Do you need two?
No. You need one running back.
I think I agree.
Yeah. But you need a starter, and that's what causes me concern, because you need a starter at running back, but you need a two starters at offensive line, and you need a starter at defensive line. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's four positions?
Yeah, four starters. Yeah.
Four starters.
You can draft a running back and find one and undraft a rookie free agency. But if that's the happen, then.
But I'm saying, but you need starters. Then, you need a star.
Yeah.
Running back. You need two star offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. You can get away with one.
I would argue one.
So you can get away with one. At the very least, you need a star. You need a big boy offensive lineman, and you need a big dog on the defensive line. Oh, and you need a big boy linebacker. You need a lot of big boys in terms of like people to come in and play now. Not to supplement what you already have. You need them to come in and be the guy. Mm-hmm. And that's what concerns me about this year's draft. You need the guy at running back, the guy at offensive line, the guy at defensive line, the guy at linebacker.
Yeah.
It's unrealistic.
I don't think you need the guy at linebacker.
Ooh.
You just need a guy at linebacker.
Okay.
I don't think you need the guy.
Okay.
I
agree with you on that.
You might need the guy at running back.
You might need a
defensive tackle. I don't think necessarily with linebacker, but yeah. I mean, still there's too many holes. You need a guy on the offensive line as well. So it's like, because as of today's stance, the offensive line would be left tackle Tyler Smith, left guard TJ Bass, center Brock Hoffman, right guard Zach Martin, right tackle Terrence Steele. You need some competition in that interior, whether that's putting Tyler Smith back inside or it's bringing in a guy like Graham Barton or Cedric Van Buren Granger out of Georgia to be able to have a little bit more competition in that interior. But I think one thing that could also, man, this would be a fun topic to talk about after the fact, if the Cowboys take one of those receivers at 24 that are slipping. And I would hate that personally. I just think that's a bad strategy, because you could sell that pick for a little bit more than probably what it's worth and move back to that Kansas City spot and pick up an extra pick.
You take it back right now.
I'm telling you what my stance is. I'm saying it would be an interesting thing to talk about after the fact if they do take a Brian Thomas Jr. Because, yes, this is an instant playmaker. He's going to be able to sit right next to CD. But I could also be like, hey, CD, we got this other guy that can make plays too. You know, it's one of those senses. There would be a lot of conversation.
Will we be able
to
get the ball to him in time?
Exactly. That's the question. I'm not for it. Don't get me wrong.
There's still a dude by the name of Cooks here, right?
There is, but he's only got one more year left on his deal. You know, you would have to think you have to start planning for the future outside of him. I think you need to draft a receiver on day three. But what if they're like, hey, this guy's here at 24. We have him, let's say, 15 on our board. Let's not window dress it. Let's take the guy. And so they take the guy at 24, and then they wait till day two to address. Oh my goodness, I would be very upset about that.
I don't think they could take a receiver in this draft.
All right, boys, we got to take our second break. More from Talking Cowboys when we return.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit unitedagandturf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to blackriflecoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is four of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's getjackblack.com. JackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated. 5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Welcome back to Talking Cowboys, presented by Black Rifle Coffee. Our next segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys. Let's see those pearly whites. Look at him. Look at him.
It's a pearly white shirt he's got today. What's with the fancy dancy?
I emceed an event earlier today.
Earlier today, it's 10:40.
Yeah, 7:30 to 9 o'clock. It was a it was a good breakfast.
You know what I did earlier today?
What's that?
I woke up at 9 o'clock and drove over here.
Awesome. I was on the road at 9 coming from the event.
Yeah, I respect that.
Answer that call right now.
Yeah. I've been getting blown up over here during this show. But
put them on speaker.
My phone's dry.
It's my mortgage people. Oh, my God. They're calling again. Let's go. Let's go, Josh.
All right. Let's go. DallasCowboys.com. I know you have a Nick Harris's top 100 preview coming this week.
Yeah.
Do you want to touch on that a little bit? Tease it for DallasCowboys.com.
Yeah. Be sure and check in with DallasCowboys.com this week if y'all have the time and you are looking for some draft content. First off, our draft guide, which Josh has right here, it's available for sale. $10.
Look at this.
You can order it now, and it'll be on your doorstep by draft night. You can be the smartest person in the room.
Smartest one in the room, baby.
Shout out to KY. Me and him put a lot of legwork on that thing, man.
I'm looking at the linebacker section really closely.
It makes sense
closely now
why there's no Washington player on a cover. You and KY just hate it, man. They put an Oregon guy right smack dab in the middle.
Whenever we were thinking about like who we should put on the cover, we were like, you know what we should not do? Mm-hmm. We should not put a Washington
guy. That sounds
guy.
So about
we could,
right.
We could piss off Isaiah.
A Washington guy is definitely going to get drafted before an Oregon guy. Maybe two guys.
Yeah. Yeah. That's valid. But anyway, as far as DallasCowboys.com, we'll be putting out a lot of draft content this week. For me personally, putting out a top 100 list as far as and position rankings leading up into the draft. Yeah, just kind of preview that. As of right now, and I think this will probably stand, I have 19 first-round grades, I'll be able to touch on those a little bit. I think there might be a couple of surprises, depending on who you ask, as far as who's in the second-round grades. A couple of guys that I'm higher on than others, Andrew Phillips, Kentucky corner. I have him as of right now 34 on my stack. I think he's a guy that's an early second-round type talent. Haven't really heard a whole lot about him as far as going in the second round. Another corner is Kyrie Jackson out of Oregon. A press guy who I think is big time and has crazy length that I think would work in a Mike Zimmer system, although I think he could be picked earlier than some imagine. Really good corner draft, man. It was really tough to kind of stack these corners up because there are so many. Of all the positions, I had more corners in the top 100 than any other position. So if you're looking for day three value to go ahead and go grab a corner, I think there might be some guys there. If you're thinking from a Cowboys perspective, if you feel like they need to go get a corner on day three, then maybe that's the play there. Corner or wide receiver, you have to draft one, and you can only draft one. Which one are you going?
Corner, for sure.
Corner.
I just think that the depth there is it's underrated to have depth at corner, and I think wide receiver we've kind of made do with.
We're not having Gilmore.
What round are we talking? Give me like a
fifth or after. More so sixth, seventh.
Probably a corner.
Mm-hmm. Probably a corner. Yeah. I think there's a case to be made for both because. Outside of CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Cooks this next year, you have a lot of unknown behind those two. Granted, yes, Jalen Tolbert stepped up and did what he was asked to do last year. And there's probably, if he stays on the same line of trajectory, there's probably another step that he can take. And, man, they are relying on him to be able to take that next step and be the solidified wide receiver three. Is he ready for that type of role, though?
Terp.
Then you also have Terp. Who I've heard is ready to be lined up for a big offensive opportunity next season as well, even bigger than what he had last season. You also have Jalen Brooks, who was wide receiver 5 on the roster last year and still has an opportunity to step up and be that again this year.
Greatest camp out of anybody last year?
Yeah. He did have an awesome camp. Yeah, he did. Him and Hunter Lipke. Honestly, Lipke was awful like the first 3 weeks of camp, and then that Oakland or Vegas preseason game, he just exploded. But I think there is a case to be made for receiver. But yeah, you look at corner, you look at the depth there. You would have to assume you lose Stephon Gilmore. He hasn't signed with anybody yet, but you would have to assume you lose him. If one of those three guys gets hurt, Diggs, Bland, Lewis, then you're in a real pickle. So, yeah, I'm probably with you guys on corner. And the depth is so good at corner. I think you can get a guy on day three that can be a reliable depth option, more reliable than Nashawn Wright was.
Mm. All right, we're going to have to
I was going to say real quick, the whole corner thing, like there's going to be good corners available at 24. The one thing I will say about that is as great as it would be to put three stud corners all together, can you pay three stud corners? You know what I'm saying? Can you put that much money? Tough. You already know, you already got the money in Diggs. You already know that you're going to pay Jerron Bland. Like, can you really afford to have a first round pick? That's the only reason why I don't see that being a possibility.
Yeah, it won't be a first round for sure. Yeah, I don't think it'll be an early pick at all. I think it's more so you get a guy on day three and hope he can just be a reliable depth option for you because, man, I think had they had reliable depth last season to be able to tell Stephon Gilmore, hey, you can rest this game against the Packers. We have a guy that we trust to be able to lock it down and be able to keep true to ourselves schematically, then I think there may have been a little bit a different result there. I'm not saying they win that game because there were so many problems with that game, but I think there would have been a little bit of a difference there. I think a difference could have been made, but you see how much that the lack of depth hurt at times last season. And even when Diggs was down, I mean, there was a lot of concern early on, like, hey, can Bland step up and do this? You're just fortunate that you had a first team all pro waiting behind. Yeah. So yeah,
for sure. And if, especially if we don't bring Gilmore back, I think that would just make sense to have depth there.
Yeah.
Overall, are any other position groups you kind of are looking at as far as top 100 goes?
I think offensive line. If you're looking at,
of course,
if you're looking at the Cowboys to take a tackle, I think if they wait until round three, it might be too late, and that's where it gets a little dicey. You got Blake Fisher out of Notre Dame, Roger Rosengarten out of Washington, who I really love. I think he's awesome, and I think he could go anywhere from late first round to late third round. There's a huge range on how teams view him. But if either of those guys are available there at 87, you haven't taken that tackle, I think either of those options could be solid. But after that, there is a huge drop-off. So getting that offensive tackle on day three, whew, especially if you don't have a fourth-round pick, my goodness, that would be extremely tough. And I think we could go into day three comfortably saying, okay, Tyler Smith is starting at left tackle this season. So that's one thing to keep an eye on. Also, you know, taking a guard early on, could that possibly, you know, be more realistic than we think? You know, that's something to kind of think about as well. Do they view some of these tackles as guards? That'll be immediate questions that, you know, we would have when they take a lot of versatile guys in this draft. But yeah, there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot, man. I'm really excited about it.
Now, final question for you guys. I don't want to get into like the actual pick necessarily, but first pick Cowboys make in the NFL draft, what position will it be?
Offensive line.
Offensive line?
Just line.
Just line. No center, not, guard,
not
tackle.
Not specific. Offensive line.
Offensive line. Easy.
Boom. Yeah, I'm going to say left tackle.
Oh, look at you, Mr. Specific.
Yeah, I'll go safe pick here and just say offensive line too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, those three guys that I mentioned earlier, you look at Troy Faltanu, J.C. Latham, Grant Barton. In my eyes, those are all interior guys. You could put J.C. Latham at left tackle, I think. I think that you would have the most flexibility with him. And I'm curious of what you think about Troy Faltanu. Do you think he could be a left tackle at the next level? I like him inside as well. I think he has the mobility and athleticism to try him out at left tackle.
He's nasty.
But
he's a dog.
But I think if you don't get any of those three guys and you're trading back, then you're probably looking at a Jordan Morgan out of Arizona, who I also like as a guard. You're also looking at potentially, I'm trying to think of a guy, Tyler Guyton. I mean, that would be a tackle option, but I'm starting to think more and more that there might be a guard that is the first pick, and Tyler Smith is just the left tackle next season.
It's funny you say that, because if you go back 365 days, there was nobody talking about Matthew Bergeron, and you see that those video from that draft room come out, and how it came down to Bergeron and Mazi Smith and how close it was, and I just thought of it when I was reading Dane Brugler's draft guide, because he compared Jordan Morgan to Matthew Bergeron, and that immediately made me we wouldn't have thought that last year, but they were really into that whole idea of going after Bergeron if Mazi Smith wasn't there. So
they're taking Bergeron this year, is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
You can check the Athletic mock draft tomorrow.
I'm living in the chaos, and I'm looking at linebacker. I'm looking at linebacker as a first pick.
As a first pick?
I want to see it.
Yeah, it would be interesting. they would have to trade back.
If there was the guy there that was worthy of 24, I think
worthy?
All right, boys.
We'll see you guys. But there's not like one of those linebackers that there are in some drafts where you're like, oh yeah, you know, like a Roquan Smith type.
For sure.
You know, that where you're like, oh, this is obviously the best guy. It's a bunch of guys that are kind of all in a group that people think will go early, mid-second round, you know?
Yeah. So I think if Peyton Wilson didn't have the medical concerns, he'd probably be that guy. Yeah. But the medical concerns push him to day two comfortably.
Fair enough. All right, boys, that'll be it for for Talking Cowboys. We'll be back next Tuesday at 10 a.m. after the NFL draft, our first show after the NFL draft. Thank you guys for having us. Tune into the draft show coming up next and all week long on DallasCowboys.com. Thank you for Nick Harris, John Machota, Isaiah Standback, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Josh Rodriguez. Thank you very much. See ya.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!